Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. And tonight I have with me two special guests. First of all, we have with us all the way from Toronto, Canada, new country singer, really moving those charts, moving those country music charts, hailing from Ontario, like I said, Amy Rose. So we're going to talk to her, hear a little bit about her music, listen to some of her music. Then later I have with me voiceover personality Matt Baker, whose voice you hear all the time on TV stations such as the Weather Channel, TLC, Animal Planet, the list goes on and on. But before we get started, joining me tonight on Hot Topics will be one of my friends, Jen, and she'll be covering these hot topics, interesting, ridiculously funny stories hitting the airwaves in our lives. And as always, these stories are ones that you will need to judge whether they really deserve or do not deserve our attention. So, you know, kind of some interesting stories that are really hitting the airwaves right now. So, let's see.
Hello? Are you there?
Jen, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you?
That frog wasn't me, but I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. And for those that don't know, Jen and me go way back, and we're friends, and we used to work together. And anyway, we like chit-chatting about different things. So, you know, Jen, I was wondering, so we kind of talked a little bit about this new Prince George that was born in England. Kind of an interesting story. I heard about 4 or 5 days ago there was some talk about, and I don't know all about this, but it may be up to 3 months before he gets to see the Duke of, I guess, Duke of Edinburgh, I guess the Queen's husband, so his grandpa. That's interesting. And then I heard today that the other grandma is going to be taking care of him, and that they're all moving into a country home out while there is some renovations being done, I believe at Kensington Palace or something. But interesting what they're doing over at this new country. It looks like, I mean, it's huge. It's 10 bedrooms, but it's a huge home, but where they're going to be spending time while the renovations are being done at the palace. And they're actually having to pave a new driveway in. They're going to have a whole lineup of security. You know, I'm just thinking, good God, that must be horrible to have to deal with. You know, paparazzi and people always following you. And, you know, the prince himself, as we all know, he lost his mother due to that, you know, when they were following her and that tragic accident. So, anyway, so do you have any thoughts about this new little Prince George? I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
Well, the name—well, it's a royal baby. We all like babies, and they're extra special, I guess, when they're royal. Maybe I don't know.
a royal baby.
Yeah, they're calling him Georgie, I guess, which I think it makes it a little bit cuter because I was a little bit put off by the name at first. But I guess when he's King George, I guess he can fill those shoes when the time comes. But
George.
They go to great lengths to protect the royal family, which, you know, is appropriate considering Diana. So, yeah, I heard a no-fly zone above the area where they're staying, and, you know,
that's what it is. It's a no-fly zone in the new little country house where they're moving to. That's because I saw something about that. I didn't quite understand it, so I didn't read it. I just saw a little blurb on it, so that's what it's about then.
I just saw that too. But no, they definitely go to great lengths. But again, it's probably definitely warranted, and there's a lot of interest.
Right.
And you know, with that comes a lot of attention, good and bad. So.
Right. And then another thing, I don't know if you saw this. This is was in the news. It's kind of scary. So there's a new species of a venomous spider. And this, I mean, it's huge, right? And it's like a tarantula, I guess. But it was discovered in Sri Lanka. And it's about the size of a human face. Can you imagine? I mean, it's venomous.
Don't let it near the royal baby.
But I mean, this thing isn't, you know, it's kind of scary because when you think about it, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of kooky and they're like, oh, this would be great. Let me go get one, or let's bring it, you know, I mean, you know, let's get them bred. And, you know, pretty soon we have these scary things all around us. But I mean, this is just terrifying looking. I mean, the size of a human face. Can you imagine? So anyway,
I'm
did
sure
you ever?
There are a lot. No, I haven't heard about that, but
yeah.
It sounds like it should have its own reality show.
On TLC, maybe. It's pretty wild. I couldn't even imagine. Could you imagine seeing something like that? I mean, what would you do? The size of so it must be, you know, somewhere between like four, well, depending on how big somebody's face is, you know, which they don't really explain how big it is. So if somebody has a big face, maybe it's a little bit bigger. Yeah, well, it's got a 20 centimeter leg. Let's see. No. Okay, this one is, no, that's, they were talking about tarantulas, but this one is just huge. It's just unbelievable, and it's venomous, and it doesn't look, I definitely wouldn't want to see that.
Are there a family of them?
What's that?
Yeah, I mean, are there a whole family of them?
You know, it didn't really say that, but it is kind of a little bit kind of frightening. They found a few of them, and so they were looking. I guess they had a team that went to look for its relatives, and I guess they found them. So, but it doesn't say whether they found a whole slew of them. But they did find one hiding in a hospital. Yikes! And
so, what are they going to do with them?
I don't know. I hope they don't send them over here. Yeah, that's pretty scary. So, anyway, and then the other thing that I saw just blew my mind, that I just couldn't even, there was something about, this is ridiculous. How many times have you had, do you like Ben and Jerry's ice cream?
I do, but I can't eat it. It's like crack.
It's like
what? It's like crack, you know?
Okay.
It's so good. They have all the brownies in there.
I know.
All the good stuff. So, you know, I have to stay away. I have to stay away.
Well, so this was in the news. I don't know if you heard about this. Now, this I read from MSN, but Ben and Jerry's porn producer settled lawsuit over DVD titles. Did you hear about this?
No.
A Southern California pornography
studio. I'm not up
studio,
on my porn.
I know. But listen to this. A Southern California pornography studio has reached an agreement with Ben and Jerry's not to release DVDs and other X-rated products whose names pay homage to the company's ice cream flavors. The agreement made public on Tuesday resolves a trademark infringement lawsuit that Ben and Jerry filed last September against Caballero Video, also known as Rodax Distributors, Incorporated. It calls for Caballero to stop selling a variety of products, including its Ben & Jerry film series, which included 10 titles such as, now I'm not going to read all these, but I mean, like peanut butter teacups and chocolate fudge babies. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous. So I don't know what they were thinking, but really, quite honestly, I think people that watch porn probably don't eat ice cream while watching porn. I don't know. Maybe they do.
You'd
I don't
be
watch
surprised.
Porn.
Surprise! There's probably a lot of like weird fetishy people who like douse themselves in ice cream and watch porn or something weird.
Oh, that's just bizarre. Anyways, it's so funny. it was weird. Hey, so anything that you might have to mention that I don't know about, or you know, maybe that I'm not privy to, or have you heard any interesting stories that I might be like jazzed to hear about, or maybe our listeners would be?
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the show White Collar. You can stream it on Netflix. But it's kind of like White Collar Crimes, and it's this guy who used to be an art thief. Well, anyway, so you probably heard in Cannes. Well, it's a great show, and I kind of like it because it's White Collar Crimes, and, you know, it's like outsmarting everyone to pull off these, like, you know, stealing major pieces of art or whatever it is, right? So that are under tremendous amount of security. So just the other day, there's this diamond heist in Cannes, and they stole like $136 million worth of jewels out of this hotel. And it's interesting because, and now France is like setting up extra security at the borders and whatnot, trying to catch these people, because apparently there have been three of these heists of, you know, jewelry heists, not to that extent. The beginning of this year. And so, and you know, there are some theories, like some people recently got out of prison that might be in this group. But, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm sure it's like a select bunch of people who pull these things off. And the fact that they can keep doing it. And I don't know. I just, in some way, it's kind of like movie-ish, or, you know, it's a good story, right? I want to see how it plays out.
Well, you might have just given some producer an idea, right? So,
That's going on. You should watch that show, White Collar. It's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's
I've
interesting.
I've been kind of following that.
Anything else?
What else is there? Well, and then sadly, I've been following Wienergate, you know, the guy, the ex-congressman who fell out of shame because he was sexting his wiener to everyone.
Anyway,
he has this, like, classy wife who's, you know, the confidant and, it's like, top advisor to Hillary Clinton, or she was, and I think she still is. That's his wife, and so this guy is now, you know, running for mayor of New York, and New York City, and he's just, keeps falling prey to these, like, sex scenes, like, he keeps sexting even after he got caught, and his wife continues to stand by his side, and it's just painful, and everyone's asking him to drop out, and he won't drop out, and the best part was this teacher who'd been in the, you know, Unified School District there, and she's a principal. There's actually a YouTube video of it. She's like, well, sir, how do you expect, you know, a public servant like myself, you know, working in a school district to be held to a higher standard than the mayor would be? Like, you would not have this job. You would not have my job. If I did what you did, I would lose my job. And now you're asking not only to be mayor, but for my vote? Like, you got to be kidding. And he's like, well, that's your opinion. Like, vote for someone else. But it's just like we're tolerating this, which is just, it's total circus.
Right. Well, no, I think you hit right on. You know, we've been actually on a few shows we've covered some of these public figures, people, you know, athletes and singers and, you know, and I'm a singer myself, but, you know, I understand how people want PR, but, you know, there's a point where it's bad PR, you know, it's just bad press, you know, and behaving that way. It's bad. We don't want to, you know, we don't want people to be showing their private parts all over, you know, all over the airwaves, nor texting, nor showing, you know, and then on top of that, you have to add that, you know, if kids get a hold of this or see it, that's even worse. So, you know, there has to be, we have to put a kibosh on this somehow, you know, because things are getting a little bit out of hand. So anyway, thank you for sharing that with me and joining me, Jen. I really appreciate it. Now,
you're welcome.
I know you love country music, so you may want to just hang on and listen up. But we've actually got, it's really great. And like I said, thanks for joining me. We've got with us a country singer all the way from Toronto, Canada. So anyway, be sure to listen up, and I'll look forward to you joining me again very soon, okay? So thanks, Jen, for joining me on Hot Topics. And
thanks, Joey.
Thank you. And now, folks, all the way from Toronto, Canada, which is a long way away. Let's give it up for Canada's new country singing sensation, Amy Rose. Hey, Amy, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Good, 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 good. And thank you for joining me, and thank you for being patient here. And you know, I want to know, when in your regular speaking voice, do you have a country twang when you're speaking regularly and not singing?
Do I have a country twang? I don't think so.
No,
the funny
you don't.
Thing is a lot of I don't. The funny thing is a lot of people say, you know, I've got that twang to my voice, but it's kind of funny. Like, how do I have a southern twang when I'm from Canada, Ontario?
Yeah, no. Actually, you don't at all. I don't hear any country twang to your voice at all. So, you know, that's funny that anybody would even say that. But, you know, it's interesting. A lot of Canadians always say A. That's a Canadian type of verbiage that they use a lot that we, of course, over here in the USA don't use too much of. But no, I don't hear any. I don't hear any country. Do you say A a lot?
I don't think so. A.
No A. Well, anyway, thanks again for joining us. And I want to know, really, and I think a lot of the listeners would be interested in knowing how you really got interested in country music.
Kind of like, you know, it was one of those things where I grew up on country music. My parents are diehard country fans, my grandparents. So it was one of those things where, you know, they were constantly listening to it. And, you know, you are what your parents are, right? At least that's what people keep telling me. So I would listen to it, and I fell in love with it. Country music, you know, in general is you know, the best.
Family is from there?
Sorry?
Is all your family from Canada?
Yeah. We're all from here. I actually have a sister that lives in Idaho. Which is, you know, really far potato country. But for the most majority, yeah, we're all here in Canada.
Wow. And your grandparents were from Canada, too.
Yeah.
And they all like country.
Well, we don't like country. We love country.
You love country.
You
love country. How many Canadians? Well, I'm sure now tons of Canadians love country music because of your voice and because of your singing. But I mean, honestly, is country music that popular in Canada?
You know what? It is. It is. And I think country music in general is. It's just a trend now. It's almost like everybody's listening to it. I think country music has evolved, and it's bigger, and it's getting bigger than it, you know, than it was. It's bigger by the day.
Right. Well, I love country music. Actually, I sing too. I believe he's your agent, manager.
Michael.
And I told him, I said, one of these days I'm going to have her come back on and we'll sing a tune or two together.
That would be fun. I'm down with that. I'm driven to the beat.
So, yeah, I've sung since I was five. And I have kind of a little bit of a country twang when I'm singing. I'm always interested.
You're going to have to sing something.
Yeah, I will.
You got me intrigued now. You got my attention. So,
yeah.
You know,
and I also sing in Spanish. So what's interesting is I've had people label me as a Spanish Elvis. Isn't that weird?
Really?
But I think it's because of the intonation of my voice and probably my twang when I sing. But anyway. But anyway,
well,
so
I definitely,
anyway,
you definitely
so,
would love to hear that.
Yeah, so we'll
yeah,
definitely
we'll,
have to
we'll
do that.
To do
and
that.
So it's interesting
so
knowing
interesting
that your family, was very
interested,
in country music,
country
and that's
music.
That's carried
that's,
over
that's carried
to
over
you, obviously.
You obviously.
What is it that you
that
you,
that you
really
you,
love
that you
about country
love
music
about
that,
country
really
music
drives
that really
you?
Drives you?
Is it the lyrics? Is
it the
music?
Is
it the sound?
Is
it because, like you said,
it's
really evolved. And a lot of it is
a lot
is
of fusion.
Like you hear a lot of,
like
and even with your music,
you
can hear some rock
tones
to it. So it's not like the country
from yesteryear,
right? It's now progressed. What is it that really drives you with that music?
I think it's everything. You know what I mean? It's the lyrical version of it. It's the point. It's the message. It's the, you know, evolution, if that even makes sense, of it, you know, just everything about country music I love. And, you know, with country music, I don't know if it's the same with pop or rock, but, you know, it's almost like a knit kind of night community where, you know, everybody is just friends with everybody. Like, I know up here in Canada, a lot of the, you know, artists that are around here, especially from Ontario, you know, I'm really good friends with, and I talk to them on a daily basis. And, you know, it's not like we're against each other. We're here to help each other. And we're all going for the same thing, the same goal. We're reaching for the same star, you know what I mean? So I like that. I like that about country music.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, when I first heard this one song that you did, I believe it's called
I
Just
Want
You
to Know.
Yes.
I said,
I want that girl.
So I want to know.
So I
want to
know
a little bit about that.
A little bit about that.
Did you write the song?
Did you write
and
the song? And
what inspired this?
No. Be prepared to be amazed with this. I Just Want You to Know is actually a previously a Backstreet Boy song.
No way, really.
It was written by the amazing Max Martin, who has written for Kelly Clarkson, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears. The list goes on and on. He's such an incredible songwriter. And this song was put on their Millennium album, I believe. I believe it was that album or the one after that, as a filler, a song filler. I don't even think the song was released. And a good friend of mine who is a huge BSB fan had brought the song to me, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, and it said, you know, I really love this song, Amy, and I think you should do a country version of it. And at that point, I wasn't really looking to, you know, get back into, you know, making an album. I kind of took a small hiatus and, you know, had a family. And so I put it on the back burner, even though I listened to the song and I absolutely loved it. It was a great song. The lyrical point of the song, the message, it could be, you know, flipped so many ways, and that's what I loved about this song. It could be about losing someone, whether, you know, it be a love or a lost, you know, in a death or something along that line. Or it could be about, you know, you love someone so much and you're with them that you're letting them know that, you know, you wouldn't change a moment or you wouldn't change a thing. So I put that song on the back burner and, you know, brought it out a couple years ago when I had met my producers, Glenn Colson and Marty Beecroft, and had showed them the song, and they loved it as much as I did. And they said, you know, let's go to Nashville, let's cut a version of it. And, you know, that's what we did.
Awesome.
So
let's take a listen to it
and
keep your fingers crossed because we're having some studio difficulties here. But anyway, just going
anyway,
to
just
ask
gonna
us
ask
to mute
us.
Mute us here,
and
then
we're
going to take
a listen
to this tune.
This tune.
I just want you to know.
Looking at your picture from when we first met, you made me smile that I can never forget. And nothing I could do could protect me from you. I was everything to me.
Well, that was awesome. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I know you've got a couple of other songs now. So there's a song that you do, Sunshine and Redneck Wedding. Now, are those songs that are originals?
Party Like a Redneck, Redneck Reunion, is actually one that I co-wrote with my amazing producers, Glenn Colson and Marty Beecroft.
Okay.
And Sunshine was written by an incredible songwriter. I believe he's from the Switzerland area, by the name of Alan Young.
I see. Okay, well, why don't we, it would be great if we could actually take a listen. I want to take a listen to that song. Say that song again. It's Redneck. Tell me again.
Redneck Reunion, Party Like a Redneck. I know it's a tongue twister.
Redneck Reunion, Party Like a Redneck. That's what
a
it
redneck.
Is?
Redneck. Okay. You got it, babe.
Okay. So let's take a listen to that. I want to listen to that, and then I'm going to come back to you and just ask you a few more things. But you know what? Before we take a listen to that, Amy, why don't you let people know, in case they do want to reach you, how they can reach you. Now I know you have, I believe you have Twitter, right?
So I do.
Why don't you give that address, give your website as well, and so we have that, and, that would be great.
Yeah, if people want to check me out, they can do so at www.amyrosemusic.com. And from there, you will find all of my links to my Twitter, my MySpace, my Reverb Nation, my Facebook. Everything and anything that you want to know about me or don't want to know about me is pretty well on that site.
Okay. So, Amy, I'm just going to ask you to, again, go ahead, if you wouldn't mind, and just let me know, just introduce the song again, because I don't want to mess up the name of it. So,
introduce it again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is my song, Redneck Reunion, Party Like a Redneck.
All right, there we go.
I know you're gonna live.
You've been listening to Canada's country singing sensation, Amy Rose. So we've been listening and talking to Amy on Live from the Bay with Joey. And so we're going to finish up our interview here with Amy. Amy, that's just your music's just really inspiring. And like I said, I like a lot of country music. But there's something different about you. There's something in your voice and in your delivery, and I know that you've been charting on one of your tunes here. It's charted, right? It's doing pretty well on one of the independents, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Party Like a Redneck. It's doing extremely well right now in the U.S. and the U.K. As well as I Just Want You to Know, we charted with that one as well in the U.S. and the U.K. And the video for Party Like a Redneck is being played on CMT Canada and was also in the top 25 most watched videos on Y'all. So, you know, a lot of great things that, you know, have been happening. And I'm just so thankful, you know, that people are loving it.
Yeah. So, and we're thankful that just grateful that you've had the opportunity to be with us here tonight. Before we close out, though, I always like to know, I like to change this up a little bit. You know, we're talking about music, we're talking about your background, we're talking about, you know, your music charting and all that, and that's really great, and people are getting to know you. But there's also, I want to really know other things about you. What makes you really tick? So I'm going to ask you, and I always do this, what's your favorite dish to eat or to prepare? And if you have a favorite restaurant that you might want to share with us. Now, again, the listeners go throughout, you know, throughout the U.S., Canada, Europe, internationally. So, but it's always interesting to me to find out more about an artist.
All right. Well, let's do this.
All right. So tell me, what's your favorite? Come on now. What's your favorite dish to eat? Now, you're going to tell me, don't be telling me like ribs and grits and you know, corn on the cob and something like that, right? Is that what you're going to tell me, being that you sing country music?
No,
fried
far
chicken?
From it. Fried chicken? No.
Okra? Not
oh,
Oprah.
What's
Oprah.
That? Oprah. Like Oprah Winfrey?
No, not Oprah. Oprah.
What's Oprah?
Okra. You've never heard of it?
No.
Oh.
What is it?
Well, it's like this. Well, I'm not a real Oprah fan, so it's like this nasty vegetable.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyway, they eat it a lot throughout the United States. So. Let me know what your favorite dish is.
My favorite dish. I love Chinese food. Absolutely love it. Especially egg rolls. Oh, my God. I love egg rolls. So it's definitely Chinese food. I love them. Oh, my God. Yeah. You
oh,
don't?
No way. Really?
Really? Why?
So you guys have really awesome, You have awesome, awesome Chinese restaurants in Canada?
We do. We have the best Chinese restaurants in Canada. You're
really?
Going to have to come up and try some. Yeah. You come up here, we'll go for a beer, and then we'll stumble down to the Chinese restaurant, and we'll get ourselves an egg roll.
Oh, we're going to go get an egg roll?
Well, yeah. I love me some good egg rolls.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, you can say that.
Well, okay. We'll go ahead and do that. That's awesome. Do you also make Chinese food?
No, honestly, I can't cook. I probably don't even know how to turn on my oven.
Oh no, really?
I'm not a good person to marry because I don't know how to cook.
See, now
I'm not trying to brag.
But you might think I'm silly, I'm very good at cooking, so I love to cook.
Well, I make amazing.
I also love Chinese food, so I'm going to have to take you up on that. And I've always wanted to see Toronto. I've heard some wonderful things about Toronto.
Yeah.
So again, Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, Toronto's great. I'm actually from Barrie, Ontario, and that's where I live, which is about 45 minutes north of Toronto.
Yeah.
But I'm really close to Toronto, so I can definitely meet you at, Air Canada International, and we'll go for a beer and then stumble down to some downtown city life and get ourselves an A-roll.
Oh, that sounds awesome. So before we go, tell me what's coming up for Amy Rose. If you're doing any tours, if you're working on anything, and again, we want to let the listeners know, your website so they can contact you, Amy, okay?
Absolutely. Okay, so what's next for me? There is so much going on that I would need, three shows to talk about it, but here I go.
We'll bring you on.
Here's
we'll
the
bring
Reader's
you back.
Digest version of it.
Okay, we'll bring you back, and then that's when we'll be singing, okay?
We'll sing. We'll do our duet. Okay, something really
go.
Cool, though. We have to come up with something. But on August 24th in Lucknow, Ontario, I am opening up for Big and Rich, I'm so excited about. Yeah, I love Big and Rich. Save me a horse, ride a cowboy type thing. So quite excited about that. As well as we just had our new, Canadian single release on last Monday, Sunshine, which you're going to play. So we're excited about that. I've got a New York press tour coming up October 13th, I leave. So I'm going to be in New York doing some rounds to radio stations and some press stuff there. As well as this Saturday, we're in LaFontaine, Ontario. We're in Dresden, Ontario, Sicrenoid, Ontario. I think that's how you pronounce it. We're getting everywhere. We're making our rounds. And, we're going to be heading back down to Nashville soon. And we're working on another single called Country Crazy that is just, I'm quite excited about. So a lot in the works. And definitely you can check me out at www.amyrosemusic.com. And from there you'll find everything and all my links.
Well, that's awesome, and that's perfect. I wanted to end this with your song Sunshine. However, we have some technical problems in the studio, and I don't want to chance it. But, again, people can pick up. Now, tell them how they can get a hold of your CD as well, right? Please.
Yeah. Right now is available on the full CD is not done. It's not going to be done until we're crossing our fingers the end of 2013. However, the singles that have been released, I just want you to know, Party Like a Redneck and Sunshine, are available on iTunes or by visiting my website. There is an Amy Rose store with, some fun T-shirts and, a small little maxi CD with the three songs on it, as well as posters and knickknacks and such as that. So definitely check out my website. That's, where everything's happening,
That's awesome. I mean, I want to thank you once again for joining us all the way from Canada, and I want you to come back. So will you come back?
Oh, absolutely, as long as we work at our duet and, think of something spectacular.
That's right. And then I'm going to have to go to Canada to have that wonderful Chinese food and a beer, and we'll just party like a redneck. How about that?
Oh, not just one beer, like 10 or 20 or, you know, until we get funny, crazy, silly.
Oh, well, anyway, so listen, I want to thank you once again for joining us. I know people just love this. And again, folks, this will be in this show with Amy Rose will be in the archives, and you will be able to hear it. And Amy, we're going to also run it a couple more times, so people will be able to hear it as well. So I just want to thank you once again for joining us on Live from the Bay with Joey, and we'll look forward to hearing more about you and having you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. So wonderful to have Amy Rose all the way from Canada. Folks, definitely go to her website, and that will be on the show page. You will be able to see the URL there and just link in with Amy. So next is His Voice Can Be Heard Every Day on the Discovery Channel, TLC, Weather Channel, Travel Channel, BBC America, Animal Planet, and on we go. Not to mention, he narrates Coast Guard Alaska, Coast Guard Florida, plus promos on the Discovery Channel networks, Dominic Bucks on the Outdoor Channel, and I think that's it. There might be more. Can you help me welcome voiceover talent to Live from the Bay with Joey, Matt Baker. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing outstanding. I'm not sure if I can live up to that intro, though.
Oh, why is that? Was it that
I don't know. It just made me sound so good.
Not as good as you, because your voice is heard all over the place. In fact, your voice is actually, which I'm so thankful, actually does our intro and our outro. So, yeah, so, you know, it's such a great, you got a really great, spectacular voice. And so, obviously, all these doors have been open to you. And as you heard me mentioning to Amy, I was hoping to play a little bit of a clip from your website, too, where people can actually go to www.mattspeaking.com, where
That's
they
it.
Can hear all your promos. And so we've been having some technical difficulties in our virtual studio. So, but anyway, we're still glad to have you here, and we're going to continue on with a great interview. Now, you're calling me all the way from the East Coast. Where are you, Matt?
I'm about 15 miles outside of Washington, D.C.
Love Washington, D.C.
In Maryland. Yep.
Love Washington, D.C. So it doesn't take you very long to get there, I take it.
Well, you know, traffic out here is not the best, so it can, but you know, depending on time of day, but no, I go to the district quite a bit.
How far are you from Georgetown?
Let's see. Georgetown is pretty much diametrically opposite. I have to go all the way through the city, but I don't know, maybe I could probably be there about a half hour.
Okay. Do you like Italian food?
Who doesn't like Italian food?
Well, that's what I say, but, you know, being part Italian. Right. But there are some people that are like, no, I don't like Italian food. I'm like, next. Okay, do you like Chinese food? No, I don't like Chinese food. Okay, bye-bye. Anyway, you know, there's a great place in Georgetown, if you're ever, you and your wife are ever out there, called Filomena's. Phenomenal.
Filomena's. I think I've heard of that.
Filomena's. And, yeah. Fantastic Italian food. Actually, quite a few presidents have eaten there. It's a little bit pricey, a little bit, but you know what? It's so well worth it. I mean, you have to do it. If you like Italian food, you got to do it once in your life.
Well,
you know
it's Georgetown.
Mean?
So if you're wandering into Georgetown, you pretty much have to have that wallet open and ready.
Yeah, but it's a great place, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
They've done a lot to it. I've actually been to that show Georgetown Cupcakes, or DC Cupcakes is right there in Georgetown.
What's that?
It's just one of the shows on TLC, and it's about this these two sisters that started their own cupcake business, and now they're just doing outrageously well, and cupcakes are pretty good, too, but every time I've gone there, there's been line around the block. My daughter's kind of an up-and-coming baker. She bakes all the time, so we're always up and looking for things like that.
TLC. Is that the show? See, I don't. I know a lot of people watch these networks. I don't. You know, I don't have a chance to.
Right.
But is that that network with that little girl? What's her name? Honey Boo Boo or something?
Honey Boo Boo. Yeah.
She's on TLC.
Yes, she is.
Mm, okay.
Besides the occasional billboard or promo, I pretty much stay away from her because, well, I don't know. That's not my scene, man. That's
oh, yeah, I know. I know. Well, anyway.
I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm just saying it's not my scene.
No, I know. Not mine either. But anyway, so tell me, I'm interested to know about your early beginnings. So where it all started, your childhood. So were you raised... Were you raised on the East Coast?
No, I was a military brat. My dad was a career Army officer, so we moved all around. I lived in Texas and Kansas and North Carolina and Germany and here in Maryland. Actually, here's where I went to high school. And then I joined the Marines myself and went all over the place. And then when I got out, I decided, well, I kind of liked it there, so I'll come back here to Maryland.
Wow. So now with, obviously, with you, being that you're talented with voiceovers and being that you've traveled all over the place, can you do accents too?
Yes, of course I can do the accents of, I can do the German, perhaps in the French, maybe a little bit.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, I'm always intrigued, but I like doing accents too. I have to be very, very, very careful. Because it's gotten me into trouble, and but I can understand how, being that you are a voice talent, like any artist, and you listen, you hear, and then you're able to kind of imitate intonation sounds, so it completely makes sense. So that's kind of cool, you know. So that's why you kind of have this neutral type of voice where it's not really when neutral type of accent, that's what I'm trying to say, a neutral accent where nobody could really pinpoint where you're from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've actually worked on cultivating that. Right now I have a little bit of a sinus thing you might be able to hear, which is the bane of anybody who works with their voice,
right?
But yeah, I've actually cultivated a lack of an accent. But I will tell you, interestingly enough, you bring that up, the being somewhat of a mimic of accents. So after I joined the Marines, I got out and I went to college and I had to take a language. And I'm like, well, I'll just take Spanish because I took that in high school. So I took it in a summer class and it wasn't any better than anybody else. Actually, it's probably worse, but I did the accent on the words as opposed to, me llamo Mateo. I was, me llamo Mateo, and I was at least trying with the accent, and the I passed on the fact that I was at least trying on the accent. Teacher appreciated that after hearing her native language. She was Hispanic, and after hearing her native language butchered by, 30 or 40 people a day.
Yeah.
Probably was grateful.
That's funny. I'm actually half Spanish, and I and I speak Spanish fluently. And what's funny is, what's that?
I said excellent. It's always good to have a second language.
Oh yeah. And so what was kind of hysterical was my cousin in Spain has a pretty heavy accent, and I can imitate him. And thank God he doesn't drink.
Castilian accent with the T.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, from Spain, yeah. But Castilian generally refers to northern Spain where they use the feta sound, where they lisp.
Exactly.
But anyway, at this point, this was 4 or 5 years ago, he was still drinking. And I guess he used to get smashed. He wasn't one of these silly drunks, and he was never, fallen over or anything like that. But, he was just kind of a little bit out of it. So I called his voicemail, and I left this message like, well, I'm calling you, but you are not home, and I'm just wondering when you will be back. I will try you later, and I hope you are very well, and I will talk to you. And I hung up. Well, our voice, our sound is so much alike. I mean, if you were to hear him and you were to speak to him on the phone outside of his accent, our tonation is just very, our tones are very similar. He got home and he was wasted, and he played this on his answering machine, and he calls me up and he goes, "Oh my God, you will not believe. I need to stop drinking because I was so drunk that I left myself a message on my answering machine." So he thought he indeed left this ridiculous message on his answering machine, and that's, you know, how he stopped drinking. So anyway, he
well,
has
there
you go.
Me you,
to thank.
You helped him out with your powers of mimicry.
I know, yeah. Excellent. But I'm always interested in accents, and actually a few that we did tonight on the show that you heard in the background were things that I've done. So, but again, I have to be very careful of that. But enough of that. And so I want to know now, did you always want to be a voiceover talent? Was this always a desire of yours, or?
You know, if you kind of look back, I can see where it maybe led to that. I was always like, you know, my parents' answering machine, I was always doing these elaborate productions of Twilight Zone or movie trailers or something, you know, ridiculous. And as I look back, I'm like, I guess it was kind of always there. But it wasn't anything that, you know, I didn't even realize that was an actual job. It's like, well, people get paid to talk for a living. That's great. But
that's
I didn't really realize. I mean, I joined the Marines, and after that, when I went to college for my bachelor's is in English because I was going to be, you know, the next great American novelist, and not so far, but I'm doing pretty good in this voiceover thing, so I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course, you know. So there they go. The crowd is going wild.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice to have.
I know. I'm sure you do. But I want to know, so how did you land your first job? How did you get that first job?
Well, let me see. I'll give you the not too long and drawn out party speech. But I was in the IT world there and doing a, you know, this is right around the time of the dot-com boom and bust, and in about 4 years, I think I worked for six different companies, and it was kind of grinding on me because, you know, you get laid off, the company disappears, you know, whatever. And I was just kind of tired of coming to my same clients and going, "Hey, it's me again." No, different company. So my wife was looking for a class on red wine tasting. This is around 2000. How to tell red wines apart from the different kinds of varietals and whatever. Anyways, it was one of those places that has a class on everything from, like,
right,
how to start your own business to how to find your astrological soulmate, and wedged in there somewhere was a thing on voiceovers. And she's like, "Hey, this kind of sounds like something fun you would do," because, you know, I've been doing presentations and all that stuff that goes with sales. And, you know, every now and then someone go, "Hey, you got a good voice, man." You know, that's great. So anyways, I took the course. It was like $50, and, you know, you got to read a little bit, and a little bit of history of voiceover, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, a guy calls me the next day, and he goes, "Look, you need to get a demo made." And, you know, this is kind of just right at the cusp of Google. I'm like, "Well, how do you do that?" And, he told me, whatever, and gave me some names. So I went and got it made. And then here comes the part where it all comes together in harmonic synchronicity. This
mm-hmm.
is the fun part of the story. So Discovery Channel is moving from New York down here to Silver Spring, Maryland. Silver
mm-hmm.
Spring used to be kind of this crappy little suburb of D.C. It was kind of run down and stuff. And they cut Discovery Channel a sweet deal to move down here. And it was a wise investment. Discovery's got this giant building, and the whole area is built up around it. But anyways, they were moving down here, and I went in to see my product manager, my new product manager, introduced myself, and set down my briefcase, and my demo CD slides out. And he goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Oh, it's just playing around with voiceovers. I got to, you know, get a demo CD." He's like, "Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I just came from Discovery Channel. You ought to call so-and-so." And he pulls out the Discovery phone book, and he gives me a name. So I call this person, and they refer me to somebody else, and I send in my demo. And then they started moving everything down from New York down to Silver Spring. So they called me in about 3 months later and said, hey, I want you to come audition for this, do the what's called the billboards, which is, you know, this program is brought to you in part by whatever. And I did, and that was my first professional gig. I ended up working for Discovery Channel, and I still have that gig today.
Man, that is an awesome, awesome story. I mean,
yeah,
that
was
really...
I was like, wow, struck by lightning. I couldn't beat that.
Yeah. Well, I would assume that Discovery Channel is probably one of the most interesting works that you've done so far in your career. Do you have any other favorites that you've done that that maybe?
Well,
you
know, it's the great thing about my job is I'm somebody new every day.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing, for instance.
Wow, that's interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's
is that
fun.
In your own mind, Matt? No, I'm just kidding.
In my own mind, you wouldn't believe the voices I have running around. Yeah, my kids are, you know, we have a couple of animals in the house, and, you know, of course, they all have voices, and then, you know, they all talk to the kids, and the kids are raised this way, and they think it's perfectly fine. But
no, that's cool.
But, you know, I go from an e-learning course for the Casualty Actuarial Society to a show on the Outdoor Channel called Dominant Bucks, which is about deer hunting, which is, you know, completely different voices. And
right.
And then I do another, you know, commercial for some local car agency here. I mean, it's all somebody new all the time, and it's really, I'm never bored, and it's really, really, I consider myself very blessed to have this type
yeah.
of career.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now most of your voiceovers are done in a studio, or do you ever go out and on location and do any work and do any spots?
I have my own studio here here at home, and I actually built it to specs provided to me by the Discovery Channel. I was like, I'm going to build a studio, and they said, and I asked them how to do it, and they said, here's what you want to do. And so I followed it, and they love me for it. But I do go to, like, local studios. I actually go to the Discovery Channel twice a week and do promos there for them, which
awesome.
Is nice because, you know, it gets kind of isolated here, hearing the world in your headphones and not really
right.
seeing people. It's
right.
a little creepy sometimes.
Right.
So it's
right.
nice to get out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, so being that you've done all these things with Discovery, all these other television channels and productions, is there anything that you have not done yet utilizing your voice skill set that you would like to?
You know, I did one little piece. I did a kind of an animated character for a commercial, the Ameridry guy. And it's on my website. You know, he's just kind of this guy in a hard hat, and I think he says six words. But it was kind of fun, and so I started putting together, and I'm still working on it, this story about, you know, I totally have these animals in my house, and so I've started putting together and making a cartoon out of it, which is very difficult, but it's kind of fun, and really, I mean, it gives me a whole different appreciation for the people who can bring these characters to life. I mean, you know, I'll record something, and I'll go, hey, that sounds great, and then I'll play it back, and I'll go, it sounds terrible. And so,
right.
you know, you're going to have to keep working on it.
Right.
So I'd like to do that, but that's more acting than it is speaking, if you will.
Right, right. No, I completely understand that. You know, a lot of times when I'm in the studio and I'm recording something and I'm singing or what have you, I will do, and people think I'm absolutely nuts, but I will do lyrics to a tune. I will spend like 2 or 3 hours on that one song, and that, you know, just the singing. I usually go line by line many times because I've found that over the years, in the past when I first started recording, I would do 1 or 2 takes, and then I would go, oh yeah, that sounds fine, and then I would take a copy home, and I would put it in my player, and I'm like, that sounds horrible. I mean, that's absolutely, that sucks, you know. I don't like it. So I was never really satisfied until I started doing what I do now, and I go line by line. And sometimes I've been known to spend as much as 8 hours just on one tune over and over and over again. I'm sure the people that are the engineering the project would like to shoot themselves, but you know, but I mean, the fact is I'm really picky, and I would rather have it sound good, because as you know, when your voice is out there, now you know, I've heard your stuff and it's great, but I'm not you, so you're going to be a lot more picky than I would be or any other listener would be. But when you hear something that's just wrong, and you hear it on the radio, something that you've done, you hear it on the radio, or you hear it on TV, or you hear it, it's just like a nightmare. It just never, at least for me, it never gets out of my head. I'm like, oh my God, that was horrible, or that note was flat, or this was wrong, or I, you know, I enunciated this word incorrect. You know, it's just over and over again. So those things can
I'm
be.
I'm with you. I did some. I did a show for the military channel. It was a whole series called Top 10. It was like Top 10 Tanks and Top 10 Jets,
right,
and whatever.
Right.
And I did this, like, I couldn't have been a voiceover guy for more than like 2 years, but they just needed somebody, and I happened to be at Discovery Channel that day. And so they just, I did the first one, and they're like, okay, we'll keep it. But the voice they made me use was terrible. Because I went through a bunch of different voices, and they were like, no, no, no. All right, how about this? Do this, do this. And by the time we got to the voice that they wanted, like, they still have clips from this on the Military Channel website.
Right.
And every now and then I'll play it, and I'll go, ugh, what is,
right.
No, why did you make me do that? But,
right,
you know, the check cleared, so what are you going to do, right? That's
right,
all there.
Right. Well, so, you know, it's awesome. The work that you've done is just, I mean, it's just awesome. And I want everybody to have a chance to go to the website, mattspeaking.com, mattspeaking.com. And if people are interested in booking you, somebody's interested in your voiceover talent, they can go through Atlas in either New York City or L.A., I understand. Is that correct?
That's correct. Or they can
hit
me up directly. Or
yeah, and the phone number. I'm sorry?
Either way they want to do it, or they can hit me up directly. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you
off.
Okay. No, no, no. So you can either reach Matt directly, or you can New York City, East Coast. It would be 2127, I believe it's 730-4500. Does that sound right?
That is correct.
In the West Coast, on the West Coast, in L.A., 310-324-9800. You know, Matt,
I don't know,
what is...
In New York, ask for Meredith, and in L.A., ask for Heather.
Okay, there you go. What's coming up for you? Is there anything that you're working on currently that you can talk about, or that you want to promote, or you want to chat about, or what have you?
Well, we got Discovery Channel's got Shark Week coming up here, I did a couple of promo things here and there. I'm not sure when they're going to air them, but if you listen, if you watch during Shark Week, you'll hear me here and there.
Oh, really? And can we get a sampling of what you – do you remember any of that? Can you share any of that?
Well, I know one of them was the easy one. The place to always find me is, like, in the billboards, you know, that this is, you know, like, Shark Week is brought to you in part by Long John Silver's. I don't know who it was, but it was – that seemed like an appropriate one.
That's great.
And it's funny when they're not appropriate, but
right.
But it's yeah. So you know, you'll hear that the Shark Week is brought to you in part by whoever, and that's all me.
That's great. That is awesome. So again, you know, I love the talent that you have. I a good friend of mine for years was he's now retired. Him and his wife lived real close to where I live, and he did voiceovers. I'm sure people can still hear him on a lot of advertising, national advertising, and just a great voice. What was funny to me, though, is that he talks like that 24/7, you know?
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. His radio voice is just his normal speaking voice. It's just amazing, you know? So, he, you know, like if he's advertising for something, you know, say whatever, you know, whatever brand he's advertising for, whether it's beer or whether it's whatever, what have you.
Right.
He has a certain voice, and that same voice carries on to his personal life. It's just interesting. It's like, oh my God, that's that voice of that commercial, and it never ends. Whereas me, my singing voice is very different than my speaking voice. This voice that I use here is different to a certain extent than how I normally would speak. I don't know. Is your voice the same 24/7 too?
It depends on what I'm doing. Like if I'm doing, you know, and like an e-learning project, it's a little more dry. You know, it's kind of whatever I'm saying. You know, the Casualty Actuarial Society. It's, you know, it's kind of a boring. I mean, I try and keep it interesting because I feel sorry for these people that have to, you know, sit through these courses on actuarial tables for hours. But do my best. But and a narration stuff, I try and keep my voice pretty much my voice. Promo is a different animal. Promo's a little more. It's kind of guttural. It's kind of in your throat, and you know you get really close to the microphone. And you kind of whisper, you know, like Shark Week is brought to you in part. It's all kind of a whisper.
Mm-hmm.
type thing, as opposed mm-hmm. to like how I'm talking to you now. I could narrate mm-hmm. a documentary just like this, and
mm-hmm.
everyone would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, promo voice is a lot more guttural, a lot more throat, more whispery,
mm-hmm.
A lot of compression. If I want to get technical, but that's, I don't get too technical because I'm not
mm-hmm.
that tech. But but yeah, so for the most part, though, you know, that's pretty much the style. They want you to keep as close to a conversational, normal, like Mike Rowe, for instance. He's
mm-hmm.
he's one of the guys you always hear, like, oh, we're looking for that Mike Rowe conversational everyman sound. So
yeah, it's
so
always
we
interesting.
We all try to sound like Mike Rowe.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting to me to see if people always sound the same on, you know, whether they're doing television on camera, off camera, on the radio, off the radio. I remember a few months ago we were doing a spot, and we were doing a segment, and I had this we brought on this gentleman, and you know, I talked to him on the phone before, and we were trying to make all the arrangements, and I thought, what a great, you know, great voice, it'll be perfect for our show, and you know, easy going and blah, blah, blah. Well, he got on the show, and let me tell you, he must have gone into a whole different persona. I was like, how are you? Oh, I'm doing great, and how are you? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, is this the right person, or did somebody else connect with me? I mean, it was really kind of scary. And so I didn't know how to tell him. You know, that just doesn't sound really good.
Yeah, turn that voice off. Go back. Yeah.
And so somebody was telling me, they said, oh, yeah, that's his radio voice. And I'm like, you know, probably not. Maybe in his mind he thinks it's his radio voice. But really, it doesn't sound good. It's like freaking me out. It's scaring me, you know. We're not doing a horror show here, folks. So anyway, again, I'd like to always find out more about, you know, the artist, the personality I'm talking to, more outside of what they normally do, what their position is, what their job is, what their talent is. So I always like to find out about, for some reason, I always like to talk about food. You'd think I was a spokesperson for Weight Watchers or something. But anyway, I'd like to find out what kind of food you like, if you cook. Now, I gave you a place to go to if you and your wife are ever in Georgetown, a good Italian restaurant. So give me some leads, Matt. But do you cook? Do you and your wife cook? What's your favorite food?
Let's see. My wife is always trying new stuff. She's generally more into healthier foods.
And what's,
you know,
her name?
I love a good steak, but I mean, she's always into cooking, you know, healthier foods and
right.
stuff, and keeping me in shape. But
and what's her name, by the way?
Her name's Tara.
Tara. So we want to give a shout out to Tara. Okay, go ahead.
So thank you. Yeah, she's a wonderful person, and again, she got me into voiceover. So what am I going to say? But she's always like new recipes. You know, we get like Food and Wine magazine or even Vegetarian Times and on the internet, and we're just pulling up recipes, and she's always trying new stuff. So that's always fun because, you know, tasting new things as opposed to the same old stuff. I mean, I was
right.
My mom's mother was trained in the British way of cooking things, which is to boil stuff, and so you know, it was a lot of liver and onions and stuff growing up. And
I don't like anything liver.
You know, like more exotic foods. I like German food. I love German food. I lived there for like 3 years, but love German. schnitzel and bratwurst and vice versa, and just phenomenal. That's a nice German restaurant right around here too that we frequent.
Which is called?
The Old Stein Inn. Old Stein Inn up there by Annapolis. Yeah, they got a fantastic beer menu and just authentic German food. It's phenomenal. So I guess that's kind of my weak point is German food. Like I said, my wife cooks. My daughter's more of a baker. Actually, she was born a baker, and we're kind of starting her business. We've already got her website called bornabaker.com, and she's working on that, building that up. She's only 14, so she's got a little bit of time. But
wow, how about that?
But she, like this evening, right before I came on, she made zucchini cookies with like little bits of jalapeno in it and with this lime sugar drizzle sauce, which were, you would think, wow, zucchini and jalapenos run far and fast, but they're actually really good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Wow. I've never zucchini. Now, I know I've had zucchini bread. Zucchini bread can be, I mean, zucchini bread is great, you know,
right.
And real sweet and nice and moist and blah, blah, blah. So I could imagine that. Jalapenos give it a little bit of an edge. That lime and sugar, I could see where it would work out really nicely, yeah. Probably very different than the norm, yeah. But definitely a treat for a lot of people, and I mean, it sounds great. It sounds phenomenal. So give her website again that you're working on. What is it?
Bornabaker.com.
Bornabaker.com.
Because she literally was.
Wow, that is awesome.
She was
awesome.
Born a Baker. That's her last name.
She was born a Baker.
Yeah, I don't think she's much on there except her logo right now. We've been
working on this
summer.
Yeah, that's...
We've been working on it this summer, and she's getting ready to put up a menu and stuff like that. She's going to try a little bit of catering and things like that.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, Matt, I hope you do come back here again and join us again. I mean, we'd love to have you. And, you know, again, it's really wonderful when you meet people and talk to people that actually have a gift with their voice and are able to. I mean, it's not every day that you get to meet somebody and talk to somebody that you hear all the time on radio and television. I mean, who is the person behind that voice, you know? So it's kind of a treat for us. And again, folks, if you're interested in getting a hold of Matt, his website is www.mattspeaking.com. And pretty soon, Matt, you're going to hear yourself as we say good night. Again, thank you for joining us. If you're ever in the San Francisco Bay Area, definitely get in touch with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very flattered to be your guest.
Oh no, it's been a pleasure. And what better way to segue this, folks, other than having Matt just lead us out? Again, thank you for joining us tonight on Live from the Bay with Joey.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.